Praise the Lord. So, I was putting the message together, thinking about it, and had already had some of the scriptures down, and was writing around, I think it was yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday morning, Deb was at work. I'd already met with this other brother I told you about. And I'm riding down the road, and I hear the minister quote a scripture that I'm going to be getting to in a little bit. I'm like, yes, Lord. Generally, it's after I preach the message that I hear the scripture, and basically, you know, four or five times. But it's the message that we all need. And that message is, all have sinned. Each and every one of us. Romans 3, beginning with verse 21, says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and a justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God made a way to pay for our sin because all of us had sinned. Every last one of us were separate from God. We were slaves to sin. We were in bondage. We were born with a sin nature. We were born selfish. We were born just completely out of control. And God has been at work. And God, before the foundations of the world, God set forth a plan. Even before He formed the earth, even before He formed Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, He knew that there would be sin coming into the world because of free choice. And because of that, that we had no way to bring ourselves back to a holy God. So He set forth this plan. That's why the scripture says, in the fullness of time, Christ died for the ungodly. But the problem that comes up is sometimes we look at those who have not yet found Christ, not yet submitted to Christ, and we're quick to see their sins and want to put up a barrier. And we forget the fact that we were also once in bondage. We were also once without hope. We were also once lost. Our hearts should burn with compassion for those that are trapped, knowing that the only rescue they're going to get is from a holy God. And the only way we're going to be able to demonstrate a holy God is to love them, is to care for them, is to reach out to them. You know, it tells us in James, if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, those of us who are spiritual should restore such a one in a spirit of meekness and love. And being mindful of the fact, you know, watching ourselves lest we also be tempted. But that's what we're supposed to do with a brother or sister that is in sin. Go to them and say, you know, this is wrong. To those that are on the outside, they have to see the love of God. Friday night, I parked a couple at the campground, and he's attending a church, Richard Bakersfield, over there somewhere. And he and I were talking and sharing a little bit. And he's talking about how, you know, we got to let these people know they're sinning and going to hell. Like, brother, how in the world are you going to start a conversation like that and expect it to go anywhere? Until the Holy Spirit moves in somebody's heart, all they're going to hear is a bunch of judgmental jerks, if that's our message. We have to first let them know that God has made a way, that God has changed lives, and start with, God changed mine. I was messed up. Praise God, you think I'm messed up now? You should have seen me back when. You know? And begin that, recognizing that all have sinned, and we have to come into any conversation and any relationship and any situation trying to reach out to the lost, recognizing what God has brought us through and recognizing where we were until God broke through our heart. Because I'll tell you, I was quick to point out hypocrisy in anybody that claimed to be a Christian, wanted to get into my face about sin when I knew things were going on in their own life. Maybe you weren't like that, but that's how I was. We have to grab onto the fact that all have sinned. John says, if we claim we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. He's talking to the church. Praise God. Now let's go on. In Luke 13, beginning with verse 1. So there were those present in that season who came and told him, that's Jesus, about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's human nature to try and judge other people's sins as worse than mine. Other people's situation is worse than mine because, yeah, I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah. Ask anybody. They'll tell you how great I am. But I know better. I know the wickedness of my own heart. David said, my sin is always before me. I recognize that it takes nothing. It takes nothing at all except, you know, being willing to open my mouth for a caustic comment to come out, a cutting, a biting remark, because I still need healing in my heart in some areas. Or it takes the pressure that comes on. Because remember, we're all being refined. As silver and gold are refined. The pressure that comes on. And that a little pressure and a little heat and a little turmoil. And guess what? There's still dross in there. There's still impurities that the Lord needs to take out. That I need to surrender to the Lord. I gave my heart back to the Lord over 30 years ago. No, 29 years ago. 28 years ago.
The other day.
January 17th, 1993. It's the math part that's throwing me off. I know the date. It's the math part that's messing me up. Was when I gave my heart back to the Lord. And I've been walking with the Lord and walking closer with the Lord since. And yet still, I know that except for the grace and love and mercy of God, I'm a wicked sinner. I need God's grace and I need God's mercy. So when I see people wrapped up, see people that don't know the Lord, just living a sinful life, my heart's cry should be for God to rescue them. For God to reach out to them, recognizing that I myself am flawed and I know that I need God working in my life. And if I need Him working in my life, how in the world can I point a finger at somebody else? Because they're also trapped. They're also bound. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this age. We have people all around us that are in bondage. They are trapped by lies. They are trapped by deception. They are trapped in their own pain. I mentioned a young man that I know. Well, I've known him for 20 years, so he's at least 40. But a young man that I know who, the last time I talked to him, let me know he was in the process of transitioning. I'm like, oh Lord. He knows the Lord, but is wrapped up and is caught and is in bondage because there's hurt and there's anxiety and there's separation. There's things that God has not yet healed in his life. And rather than go to the Lord for the healing, he's turned to another way. He's trapped and he's in bondage. He's in chains in darkness. Yes, and needs God to touch him. But if I come to him like, boy, you know better. How's that going to work? How's that going to help? How's it going to change somebody's life? We need to be light and we need to be love to the people we encounter. They need Jesus and they don't need me to be a stumbling block or an obstacle. they need me to love them to Christ. Not tell them everything that's going on in their life that's wrong. They know what's wrong. They're just trying to find an answer that doesn't include God. It doesn't work. There is no answer that doesn't include God. There's only more bondage and only more turmoil. Ecclesiastes 7, beginning with verse 15. Now, Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. Everybody knows Solomon was the wisest man ever because God gave him the wisdom. Everybody also knows that Solomon was a pretty stupid guy because instead of taking the wisdom that God gave him, he set out to prove everything, whether or not God was right. 700 wives, 300 concubines, that's a stupid man. Okay? You get beat with that many balls and chains, I tell you. Solomon. So in Ecclesiastes, he's gone. This is near the end of his life, and he's learned a lot of things, and he's put a lot of things down on paper. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, it says, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. And there is a man who perishes in his righteousness. And there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in righteousness. We look from the outside. We don't understand what's going on. God looks at the inside, knows exactly what's happening. Maybe it's the mercy of God and His hand outstretched that when the wicked don't seem to be being punished, that God is giving them another chance to repent. Maybe it's when we're doing the right thing and everything seems to go against us that it's still more of we need more of the Lord. What is it going to take for us to cry out to the Lord more? So he goes on. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? I get to that verse right there, and I think of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. They had all of the righteousness in the world. They had all of the righteousness they could muster. And were denying the righteousness that comes from faith in God. I'm just as righteous as I can be. But the righteousness, as righteous as I can be, I'm not righteous enough. I'm not perfect. Why will you perish? Or why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Oh, Lord, help us. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? So Solomon, the wisest man in the world, God gave him the wisdom, set out to prove everything, set out to test everything. He saw things that he couldn't quite get a grasp on. And he's still trying to use his own wisdom and his own understanding to put them together. Verse 18, it is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. Well, what's he saying there? He says, don't be overly righteous in your own righteousness. Don't be overly wicked in your own wickedness. But recognize that you were walking through life. You're going to have interactions with people. You need to understand this. Continuing on, for he who fears God will escape them all. Do we trust God to guide us and give us His righteousness, or do we try to do it on our own? Do we trust God to direct our steps? God, when He puts conviction on us that we're sinning, to go before Him, to repent, to seek His face. Lord, I had the opportunity to talk about crying out to the Lord to work forgiveness in my heart and the difference, the impact that it's made not only in my life but in Debbie's life and lives of other people that we've done. We came across the scripture. I came across the scripture that says, unless you forgive others, which is one of the scriptures we're going to read, by the way, but unless you forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. And working in that and seeking that and pondering that and crying out to the Lord to work it in my heart, that it had such an impact that God was able to bring healing to families. God was able to bring healing in relationships. God is able to bring healing and a witness and a testimony to the people around us of the power of God. We have family members that say, I don't know how in the world you could ever forgive that. Well, let me tell you about the power and grace and love and mercy of God. I had done much worse things to God than anything could be done to me or anything could be done to anyone around me. Verse 19, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of a city. Verse 20, there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. All of those years ago, Solomon had that understanding. None of us are perfect. Also, do not take heart to everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times, also, your own heart has known that you have cursed others. Why should we be surprised? People talk bad about us when there have been times where we've said things about other people. I have repented many times about a certain church over there. If you're good with directions, you know which direction I pointed. If you're not, over there is good enough. A church that I went to one time, way back when Deb and I were still dating, before we got married, because we were attending this church regularly before we ever got married. And we went to this church, and that Sunday morning, the sermon was the Super Bowl. I'm not a sports fan. In fact, I'm not an anti-sports fan. But the sermon was the Super Bowl. And for years, I talked bad about that church. And then one day, at the Aspire Together banquet, the lady that was the table host started telling me about the situation with her granddaughter. Her granddaughter had been very rebellious and been having a very, very rough time, giving her family a rough time. And a friend of hers had invited her to church. And she went to church, and God touched her. And the girl turned her, God turned the girl's life around. And the grandmother was so thankful of the work that God had done in this girl's life. And it was in that church. And I realized, just because the message didn't speak to me doesn't mean God was speaking in that church. And I can remember rebuking another minister because I had talked about having visited, again, years and years and years ago, having visited Trinity Presbyterian over in St. Albans. And God really spoke to me in the service, and I was sharing that. And this person said, "You mean God can speak in a Presbyterian church? If God can use a donkey, if God can use Andrew, God can use anybody." But so often, we, even as the body of Christ, tend to think lower of somebody else because they're not who we are, or they're not who we think they ought to be. Lord, forgive us. Lord, all have sinned, including me. And not just way back when, but including each and every one of us. So when we see these people struggling, whether they're brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling, and we can go to them, "You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Recognizing we're all vulnerable. We're all still have this, you know, living in this sinful world. And even though we have a new life and a new birth and a renewed spirit, there is still that struggle within us. Paul says, "The good things I want to do, I don't seem to be able to do. And the bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing." Or as the King James says it, "The good that I would, I do not, and that which I would not, that I also do." Flows a little better that way, don't you think? A little more confusing, but flows a little better. But God is at work in each and every one of us to do His will and to call us. And He's doing that. He's calling us to be lights to the world around us, to be lights in the midst of the darkness, to be salt, to be a preservative and an enhancement. To be a blessing. We are called to be a blessing to the people around us. We are called to be a gift of God in their lives. And if we don't recognize what God has brought us from, if we don't recognize the bondage they are in, then we become a curse instead. We become a barrier and an obstacle. Lord Jesus, forgive us and help us. Matthew 21, verse 28. Jesus talking to a bunch of scribes and Pharisees. And they were just trying to get him to tell him his authority. "By what authority do you do these things?" And he says, "Well, I'll ask you a question. You answer me and I'll answer you. John, was he from God or not? John the Baptist." And they wouldn't answer because they figured either way they answered, they were going to get in trouble. So they said, "We can't say." And Jesus said to me, neither will I answer you. But he goes on, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the Father? And they said to him, the first. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. You had the message and turned away because it didn't fit your narrative. How do we apply this to our own heart? Lord, help me. Help me to be a light and a blessing to the people around me. Help me to not be a stumbling block. Help me to not be a barrier, but to recognize that all have sinned. Everybody's in the same boat. If we're sitting there judging sins and putting them on a scale, putting them on a chart, you know, we're not doing the will of God. Because the Bible tells us that to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. And a sin is that which separates us from God, any of it. Jesus said, be you perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. God said, be holy as I am holy. And we all fall short. And because we all fall short, we need a continual life of repentance, but also a life of mercy and grace to the people around us, because they don't have the hope that we have. They don't have the fact that God is directing their steps and changing us and molding us and refining us. We have that going on in our lives. Sometimes it's very painful, but it's because we have already surrendered, and so many around us have not. Lord, break the chains that bind them. Break the things that hold them back. And help me to not be part of that. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing and a light to the people I encounter. Finally, Matthew 6, verse 14. I talked about this a minute ago. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a hard lesson to learn, but it's a critical lesson to learn. That loving people comes from recognizing what God has brought us through. And that having a desire for God to work in their life just like He's worked in mine. For God to show them love and mercy. For God to break the chains of bondage off of them as He's done it off of me. For God to guide them and lead them. For them to hear His voice. For them to be able to see His hands at work in their lives. I can't do that unless I'm willing to lay down my expectations of what people ought to do. And just point them to God. Point them to a God that loves them. That takes sinners like me and changes their lives. That can actually get a hold of the verses and the words of amazing grace and recognize it is a wretch like me. Not I'm a pretty good guy. I'm better than some. No. No. I was mean. I was vindictive. I was vicious. I was hateful. I was hurtful. And I was hurting and striking out. And when others are hurting, they're going to strike out. They're going to reach out and try to find a way to either ease their pain or cause someone else to hurt so that they're not hurting alone. That's normal, the wicked, broken human nature. And the fix to it is loving them enough that they want to cry out to the Lord that He can change, that He can heal, that He can bless, that He can set things right. All have sinned. And all need the same Savior. All need the same Deliverer. All need the same righteousness. All need the same healing. And we all need the same love. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, Father, that You did save a wretch like me. That You didn't leave me where I was, but You stirred in my heart until I was willing to seek Your face. You stirred in my heart until I was ready to say, I give up. I know You're real. I just don't know how to do this. Lord, lead me, teach me, use me, work in me. I am Yours.
We all need that. Everyone around us needs that. Help us, Father, not to be a stumbling block, not to be a barrier, not to be a stone of offense, but to rather show them the love so that You can touch their heart. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You, Lord, that it's not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, You are stirring in the hearts of people to seek Your face. We give praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.